Well, good morning. We would appreciate your prayers this morning. I feel like the Lord's been talking to us about something that is very important to our walk with God. And I wrote on the board, abide in me. Those are Jesus' words that he spoke. And I want to start in John. The 15th chapter, and read that little bit there that talks about, I am the true vine. I've been thinking for quite some time about this subject, and sometimes I think we endeavor to serve the Lord, and this is the way I did it as a young person. I wasn't raised here, but I wanted to be good and I wanted to be saved, and so I did my best to do what was right and to say my prayers and all of that. But there came a time in my life where I really, really met the Lord. He came into my soul and changed my life and filled me with His Spirit. And life has been very different ever since that happened, before I got married. And I want to share with us Jesus' heart this morning as he tells us some things. If you look at the book of John, as many of us know, those last chapters from 13 on, maybe some of 12 even, all that is dealing with just a few days before Jesus was crucified. And Jesus was bearing his heart to his disciples. That's when we have the feet washing. That's when we, you know, and that's when he wanted the disciples to know something. I know you've been trying to conjure for the highest position in the kingdom, but really you're going to get a wash feet in your life. That's what your position's really. And he began to tell them. The 17th chapter, we read the prayer of the Lord and how he asked God for us to be one as he and the Father is one. One in him and one in the Father. And in the 15th chapter, we see where Jesus tells us something that is vital and key to us, I believe, making it to heaven. And so we get saved, and like I say, I've been thinking about this for some time. We get saved, and folks, that's not the end of it. In fact, that's the beginning point. We just got on the trail. When we got saved, we just got on the trail. We just stepped in, and now we're ready to live for the Lord. And I want to encourage us today to hear the words and to ask the Lord this morning, Lord, reveal to me just a little deeper. The Lord does that all the time for his people, doesn't he? All of us that seek the Lord. The Lord is constantly revealing something else to us. And in John 15 and 1, he says, I am the true vine, Jesus himself, and my Father is the husbandman. He's the vine keeper, the vine dresser. He's the farmer. And he says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now, we might think, okay, now I need to really work on this. I've got to bear more fruit. But Jesus tells us some secrets here to living for the Lord that I believe makes the difference in our life. And so when he said, I'm the true vine, he really made a statement there, didn't he? I don't know, probably many of us here have grown things. And I want to tell you, you stick that seed in the ground and it grows, and then it grows things off of that trunk. And Jesus said that we are the branches. And he wants us to get a hold of something here. And I know this is very simple stuff to many of us here, but folks, the Lord wants us to live from him. He wants us to have life in the inner man. He wants us to have more than an experience that we can just look back to, that's where I got saved, but he actually wants us to dwell, as we're going to read here, abide in the vine, and he wants us to bear fruit. That fruit is not our fruit. That fruit comes from the vine, and it comes through us. And so this morning, as we begin to look into this, that's maybe it can just become a little more real to us, because I think sometimes it's easy, especially for young folks or for people that maybe have never really got to know the Lord, to get saved and to begin, okay, now I've got to pray. I know I've got to pray. But folks, the Lord is wanting something a lot more than that. Now, I don't mean to downplay what prayer plays, but I want to tell you what he really wants. He wants a heart that is seeking and longing for the Lord. And his grace comes into that heart. And we are part of that vine. We're hooked up to that vine. And he said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I want us to think about that. You know, sometimes when you're working in a garden and you have multiple plants, you damage one. And what I'm always looking for is, did it break off or is it just damaged? Because I recognize that if it's still hooked up, there's a lot of hope for that plant. And so this morning, as we live life, he says, abide in me. You know what that word abide means? Strong says to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy. And so it's used in the Bible as like continue, endure, dwell, be present, remain, stand. And so this morning, as we start thinking about our relationship with the Lord, folks, the Lord wants us to take some time to draw our strength from God. You know, when he says that he wants us to trust in him, you know how important trust is? You know why it's so important? Because that is our connection with the Lord. Because when we have need of strength and we're drawing from Jesus, then there's something coming into us that's more than ourselves, isn't it? And so when we need guidance and we don't understand what to do, I think Daniel's a good example of that. We find him over there, and he goes out for 3 weeks just seeking God. Lord, I need to hear from you. Here's what your scriptures tell us. And now we need to know what this really looks like in life. I need understanding. And so Daniel began to seek God. It was more than just his everyday prayer. It says he prayed 3 times a day. Well, you know, I know that I'm sure he did pray 3 times a day. But I want to tell you, there's something more. And that's, if we can get a hold of that, something more than just reading and praying. Okay? And like I say, I want to explain that so if the Lord will help us this morning. Folks, the Lord wants our prayers to be alive. He wants there to be something that we are drawing from the vine. And who is the true vine? Jesus said he was, didn't he? And so when we begin to have need, and you know what? I have need every day. Every morning I have to get up, Lord, I need your grace today. Have mercy upon me. I need to be kind and gentle and pure. Lord, I need your strength in my soul. I need your revelations. I need your thoughts every day. Every day. Do you know that you never take a plant, and I believe Jesus used this as an illustration, and he knew what he was doing. You never take a plant and cut it off, and then, tomorrow I'll put it back on, you know. Do we? No, we don't do that. But every day that is connected, and it draws its strength and its life from the vine. Now, I want to encourage us this morning. And I would that God would open, because I know this is a place that many struggle with. I mean, I've just been around long enough to know, I'm not saying many here even, but many people struggle with this. Because their idea is, all right, now I got saved, I got to read and pray. And so now they got another pack on their back. Now I got to do this, I got to do that, and I can't do this and that. And pretty soon, life is nothing like what the Lord planned it to be. The Lord planned for us to become a living, thriving part of who God is. He planned for us to bear fruit and for that fruit to be luscious and whole and full. The Lord planned on that. But that's not born of ourselves. And he said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. You know why he takes it away? Because it's dead. There isn't anything there. He's talking about dead branches that fall off the tree or cut off or pruned off or whatever. But, you know, the Lord wants our branch to be alive. And I just want to encourage the children and all. I knew nothing of this as a little child. But my wife at 9 years old said she would go out and pray to God and look to the Lord. And the Lord was very real in her life at 9 years old. I knew nothing of that. I want to encourage all you children. God is very real. And what he wants more than a memorized prayer. And a memorized prayer is okay at certain times in our life, okay? When we're little children, we are taught to pray. But I want to encourage you to let your heart yearn after the heart of God. Amen. Lord, how I need you today. Lord, How I want to glorify you, and I can't do it on my own. And I make such a mess of things if you don't help me. Anybody else feel that way? Yeah, I want to tell you something. God wants to give us a piece of himself. And when he does that, then things begin to turn out right. Things begin to glorify the Lord. And so we'll read on here. Let's remember that this relationship is something that is to remain the rest of our life. We don't just draw close to God and then, well, that was a good time. I had a good time. And then for 2 weeks, we don't know anything about it. Folks, the Lord wants us to continuously draw our strength from the Lord every day. And so when we pray, see, we should pray. That's a real part of our salvation is praying, isn't it? But our prayer should be the heart cry of our heart, reaching out after God. Lord, today would you speak to my soul? Lord, today would you give me what I need today? I know we kind of went over that, but folks, I can hardly say it enough. I really believe the Lord longs and loves people to draw near to him and to ask him into their lives. Abide in me. Live there. Stay there. Dwell there all the time. Abide in me and I in you. And when we get saved, you know, then there's something that wonderful that happens there, isn't there? The Lord is there in with us, however you want to say it, and we are abiding in him. And I know there's more for us, but as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. So let's remember that. I don't have anything to offer unless God abides in my life and he strengthens me. I am the vine, Jesus said. Ye are the branches. He that abideth me in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. You know, Jesus made a statement here that if we abide in him and he in us, we're going to bring forth a lot of fruit. And I want to think about, you know, when Jesus was a little baby and they took him into the temple, who was there? Who met him there? Who met his parents and said something about this little baby and spoke of him? Was it Simeon? Was it Anna? And these people, see, they knew the Lord. They knew the voice of the Lord. They understood. And I'll tell you, it says that Anna was a woman that she spent her time in the temple. And I know all of us can't do this at every point in our life, but we can know the Lord. She spent her time fasting, praying, seeking God. She was at that place in life where she could do that. She didn't have children running around at her feet to have to constantly be doing things with. But you know what? When the Lord came along, they knew what was going on, didn't they? They perceived. God had spoken to Simeon, you're going to see this baby before you die. Wasn't it Simeon? And you know, we see that. And I want to encourage us to be one of those people that God can speak to. When false things come around, how are we supposed to know? Sometimes it looks too good, doesn't it? Sometimes it looks so well. And how are you going to know? Well, I'll tell you how to know. Just get real hooked up with the Lord. And every day stay hooked up with the Lord. Seek his face. Before you run off to work, seek his face. Spend some time there. Now, I know, and I've heard this plenty of times at the altar, but I want to tell you, I know what happens. We get up, it's time to go to work, and you have to go, don't you? Get fired if you don't. Well, you know what? How to fix that? I remember when I was installing, and we would work early to late on those jobs, and I will tell you, I traveled with one of the brothers that was... It was wonderful for me to watch. And I got up every morning at 5:30 so I could have time. And I know I deprived myself of some sleep. But folks, I'm not saying that to lift him or me up. But I want to tell you, if you want to live for the Lord, you're going to have to make it happen. Spend time. It takes time to be holy. It takes time to stay before the Lord and give the Lord this hour, or whatever it is. I'm not going to say it has to be a certain amount of time. But folks, if we are constantly, we get up, we start watching our phone, we start immediately. You know, there's certain things that I like to keep at a distance until I've pretty well had worship. You know, I want to encourage us to have worship. God is very real. God wants to be real in our lives. He wants to reveal things to us. And he wants to show us the way. We don't have any way to do that on our own. It's God that does those things. So take some time and seek the Lord. That doesn't mean that we're saying, Lord, help Uncle so-and-so and Uncle so-and-so and that, and help this one and that one. We do that. We do that. But that's not all the substance of our time with God. And I just want to encourage us. There has always been, I want to look at them in a few minutes. There's always been a few people throughout the ages. There's been people that has walked with God. And they have known the Lord. And the Lord loved that. And he loved them. And when he sent the angel to Daniel, you know what the angel told him? He said, oh, Daniel, thou art a man greatly beloved. Well, who was he talking about that loved him so much? I think he had a place with God in his life that was very special. And the angel told him, Daniel, you're a man greatly beloved. And you know, there's others like that. We look at Enoch, and maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, but Enoch was a man that it says he walked with God for 300 years. And you know what? The Lord just took him. He did not have to face the pangs of death. The Lord just took him home. I don't know how he did that, but he did. And it's a wonderful story, isn't it? And so this morning, I'd like, if God would, to whet our desires, folks, for a closer walk with the Lord. I thank the Lord for every saved person, every saved young person, every person. But listen, the Lord wants us to bear much fruit. That can only be done by His strength coming into our life. And if we have not known the joy that comes from knowing the Lord, from spending time, and I know at the altar many times, I tell you folks, I really believe, take some time once in a while that's just extra special. I read about a man that would take Mondays, one Monday a month, and that was his day. He went for a walk in the woods. He prayed to God. He slept. He walked. He looked to the Lord and recharged his soul. And you know, this morning, I believe the Lord wants to recharge us in ways that we never knew He could. I never knew it before I began to know the Lord in that way. So the Lord help us today. If a man abide not in me, verse 6, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now that's got an if before it, doesn't it? But he said, if you do that, if you live this way, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, that means we're obedient, right? Is obedience wrong? Is that a law spirit to be obedient to every command of the Lord? Not hardly. It's just a prerequisite for the walk with God. And so it's part of the walk with God. And he said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That's a beautiful promise, isn't it? We think, well, I've asked the Lord for things before, and it didn't happen. Well, you know, there might be some places for us to just get a little closer. Daniel probably asked the Lord for a long time before he finally stopped and said, I'm going to get an answer from God. And he went out by the river, what was it, Chebar or wherever it was, and he began to seek God. God, I need you. Now, this is what your word says, and I'm not seeing. I need you to help me to understand what this really looks like. And so I was thinking about our walk with the Lord. Lord, what's that really look like in everyday life? Because we don't live on a planet other than Earth, do we? We live on Earth, and we suffer the same things everyone else does. So what's it really look like to walk with God on this Earth? I believe it looks like every day spending time with God. I know there's those strange times here or there, but I want to tell you, we can walk with the Lord if it's our highest priority. I believe God will make it possible. So, and it looks a little different for everybody, because there's people that have a whole house full of children. It's going to look a little different for them than it is for somebody that's retired and they don't have any of that, isn't it? And so, but the Lord still wants to walk with them. I've known parents, I've known more than one, that the Lord gave them visions of what their children were doing. And they saw it. And they saw what happened. And they found out later it happened just like they saw it. You know, only God can do those kind of things, can't He? So we want the Lord to walk with us. Herein is my Father glorified. Listen to this, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Folks, if you have not been able to bear fruit in the past, I just want to tell you, the Lord really wants us to bear much fruit. He wants our life to be something full and overflowing. So, we're all pretty smart people, aren't we? We can figure things out. This is not rocket science. But it does take a death to self, and to our own thoughts. Sometimes you talk to people and they say, well, as soon as I get up, my mind is just full of what the day involves. Well, I want to challenge you to something. Make a sacrifice. This first hour is the Lord's. I'm going to go to bed when I have to. I'm going to do what I have to because the first is the Lord's. And I believe this. He told us that if we'd make him first, that all these other things would be added to us, didn't he? Do we believe that? I believe it. I believe we believe it here. So we're not saying something that we don't know anything about here as a whole. The Lord wants to give us these things today. And listen to what he goes on to say. Pardon me. We read the 8th verse. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. I want to tell you how to love like God loves. Just hook up to the vine real close. And draw your strength from him. And during that hour or whatever length of time you give the Lord, don't let your mind think about the issues that trouble you and bother you. Seek the face of the Lord. He has the answers that we need, doesn't he? If you keep my commandments, ye shall... I wanted to mention, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. It comes from God. God is love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I want to tell you how to lose that love out of your soul. Just don't keep his commandments. Don't keep his quiet time. And your mind, when you're offended, can become enraged with those things until hatred and malice and ill will sets in and it takes over your life. That's how to do that. But you know what? If we keep the commandments of the Lord and we seek the face of God, I believe he'll give us what we need. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. We could all take a little more of that, couldn't we? This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. And so this morning, I want to move on from here. But folks, this is a wonderful illustration of how we walk with the Lord. Jesus himself gave it to us. And he wants us to have those things. In Acts 11, I want to look at a few here examples that we have. Acts 11 and 5. Peter here telling this, he says, I was in the city of Joppa praying. What was he doing in the city of Joppa? He was praying, wasn't he? He was in the city of Joppa praying. That's what he was doing. He was seeking the face of the Lord. And you know what? God spoke to him, didn't he? Now, he could have been there and said, I got lots of business to do. I'm pretty sure Peter had a lot of things to do. But I'll tell you what he was doing there. He was seeking God. And it says, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descend, as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me, upon the which when I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And you know, we see here how that God gave him a vision telling him, Peter, there's in a moment he tells him a little more and lets him in on the whole story. The Gentiles are not unclean. What I had considered clean is clean. You know, Peter could have never figured this out on his own, but he was seeking the Lord. He was in the city of Joppa praying and finding and seeking after God. And the Lord began to talk to him. And you know what? As soon as he saw the end of that vision, you know what happened? All this was done three times. I've found that the Lord lots of times will do something several times if it's something really out of the ordinary or something really astounding or something. The Lord makes sure we understand, doesn't he? And so he did this three times for Peter. And then he said, verse 10, and this was, let's see, verse 11, and behold, immediately there were three men already come into the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house, and he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Now, you know, I would have loved to have had that experience, wouldn't you? That would have been a wonderful experience. But I want to tell you, God will give us some really special experiences through life if we will walk with him. And they might be our own and they might be just a little different. But I want to tell you, God will walk with us too. Just want to encourage us today to walk with the Lord. The Lord has many blessed things in our life. But folks, it's going to take more. It's going to take a little time, as Peter was doing, searching after God for the Lord to begin to infuse through that vine and through his word. And through his Spirit into our life. And that's what he was doing with Peter. He took some time there with Peter and showed him, Peter, I want you to go down to these Gentiles. They're not unclean. What I say is clean is clean. And the Lord revealed some things to him. And then he saw that, didn't he? That's a wonderful story. You know, Peter went up on the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord. He also saw Elijah, I believe, and Moses, wasn't it, up there? And he saw something. He heard the voice of God audibly, didn't he? But I really think if Peter had not been with the Lord, none of that would have happened, would it? And what enriched his life and gave strength. You never see Peter turning back after the day of Pentecost. You see him giving his whole life to the gospel, never turning around, never counting the things of this life worth anything compared, never being dissuaded in such a way that it took him away from the Lord, because Peter had seen some things. His heart had searched after those things, I believe. We talked about Enoch. That's in Genesis 5, if you want to look at it. But anyway, it says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, in Genesis 6 and 9, it says, these are the generations of Noah. You know, there's people back through there. What if Noah had not known the Lord? But I want to read what the scriptures say about Noah's life. These are the generations of Noah, verse 9, Genesis 6. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Did you know Noah walked with God? God didn't just choose some man out there that was living wicked and say, hey, I want you to do something. Noah, with a perfect heart, with everything he knew, he was serving God, and he was walking with God. Folks, the Lord will... I can't imagine what the world would have been like had there not been somebody standing in the gap like that. But Noah stood in the gap, didn't he? He stood in the gap for his family. His family was saved because of Noah's walk with God. And I want to encourage us, we have families. We have a sphere of influence. The Lord wants us to stand in the gap for him, doesn't he? He wants us to walk close enough with the Lord that we can hear the voice of the Spirit before we understand anything going on. The Lord wants to do that. That's what happened with Peter in that vision he had. He didn't know what was going on. Here the Lord was dealing with him, and all of a sudden the Lord says, now get up. There's three men at the door here. You go with them. And he did that, didn't he? What a blessing that was. Now listen to what it goes on to say about Noah's time. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So we're going to have a hard time saying, Lord, it just couldn't happen in our time. Things were too bad. You know what? They were bad in Noah's time. They were so bad that Noah was the only just man before God. And his family was saved as well. And that's it on the earth. But he was a just man before God. And he did walk with God, the scriptures tell us. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Noah, I want you to make this ark. Lord, I've never heard of anything like that before. And where's the water coming from? We've never had a deluge. We've never had a big rain like that. What? You know what? Noah walked with God. And God told him some things, and Noah did it, didn't he? Think if he had not have prepared that ark. And I think of how many times we, as fathers, mothers, grandparents, folks, we stand in the room of others. We stand before God for others. And many times it is the influence of some of you here that stand in the way of Satan destroying your family. And so Noah made the ark. I want to think for a minute about Abraham. You remember in Genesis 17 and 1, it says, and when Abram was 90 years old and 9, he was pretty old, wasn't he? The Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him. As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. You know, Abram was a man that from early on, God told him, get up and go. And he obeyed, didn't he? And he walked. I believe Abram, How many times do we have on record that God talked with Abraham? Quite a few, isn't there? And so we see that he had faith to believe that God was in his day, in his time. And he got up and left the idolatry and the wicked place he was in and went to a place where he didn't even know where it was going to be. And so this morning, that's the gist of what I wanted to say. A few more things here. But folks, the Lord said, "This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest." I don't know where we think we are in that little group, but we're not any of us very big, are we? But I want to tell you, wherever we are, from the least to the greatest, the scriptures tell us that all will know the Lord. And so I want to encourage us today to not let our work, not let the defilements of the world around us, the discouragements that happen, not let the things that Satan would throw at us, not let anything keep us from walking with God. Because it's a real thing. And the Lord bless us today. I believe that if our heart begins to seek out after God and spend some time, Lord, I just need you. I want you in my life. I want you to have my life. I want you to have control of my life. I want you to use my life. Do you know what I believe God does when we do that? He just comes right in, doesn't he? That's the vessel that he's looking for. That's the vessel that he is looking to fill. And I believe when we begin to call out to God, Lord, I want your spirit, I want your life in my life, I think the Lord will do that for us. You remember Moses? You know, Moses was walking along in the desert where there was nothing. And Moses was a herder. And it says that the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, Exodus 3, in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And God began to talk to Moses. I want to tell you, the Lord calls us too. I see him calling people during altar services. I see him calling people in their lives. Folks, he calls you and me, doesn't he? And when he sees that we turn aside, he begins to talk to us. He has some things to tell us that he really wants us to know. Folks, we get so easily sidetracked without the mind of God in our lives and in our hearts. You pray for me. I want to spend that time. I want to have that heart that seeks after the heart of God and that the Lord can speak to. He doesn't speak in wondrous. We don't go up on a Mount of Transfiguration every day. Peter did it once, didn't he? But I want to tell you, Peter saw some things in his day. Mostly, he saw in everyday life. And I want to encourage us today to give God the best. Give him the first of our everyday life from now till we die. Never turning back. Never taking it back. And folks, I want to tell you, I really believe when you see the wolf coming, you'll sense it. Because God's in here. And I want to tell you, the wolf comes. And he comes in a lot of ways. And that's why the Lord, the scriptures tell us, don't believe every spirit. Don't believe everything. Don't believe everything that looks good. Because it's not all good. But if we will walk with God, I believe we'll be safe in life. I believe he'll tell us if we need to build an ark. won't he?
Yes.
The Lord bless us today, each one, to draw us close to God and teach us how to walk with God. I think there's a learning, isn't there? There really is. Samuel, when he heard the voice of the Lord the first time, didn't even know it was God. It says there, that's 1 Samuel 3, but it talks about God calling Samuel. He thought it was Eli. He ran, Eli, what do you want? I didn't call you. Go back and lay down. He did it 3 times, and the 3rd time, Eli had known the voice of the Lord in his life. And he said, next time you say, speak, Lord, my servant heareth. And you know what? Samuel began to know the word of the Lord. And the Lord used Samuel's life all his life. But he was a young man that was given to the Lord. And so was it some kind of rocket science? No, it wasn't. Samuel was just the Lord's. And he truly was. And he had a clean heart. And God began to talk to him and use him and bless his life. You pray for me.